that is so good. It's our month's theme, right? Our dance with divinity. Our dance with divinity. We discussed the divine form in the first week, which is the body, right? Which is our body, our you know, divinity as us. And we shared about dancing the dance the second week, this experience, the divine experience of living life in the flow of all good, all God. Last week, Jennifer Farron was here, and she talked about the spectacular self, which we are. And today, we're taking care of business. Yeah, you know, right. Taking care of business. Now, and what we mean, of course, is the business of life. It is the business of life. Ernest Holmes wrote a book called Your Invisible Power, amazing book. We might, you know, it goes in and out of print, so I don't know if we have it in the bookstore or not. You can look. Anyway, one of the chapters in there is called God, Your Silent Partner, which I really, really loved. Anyway, he said this. He said, we are in partnership with infinite mind. The name of this partnership is God and Company. The supreme intelligence, the universe of the universal creative order, the dynamic law, and the all-perfect presence, this is God, the silent partner. We are the company. That's us. This partnership cannot be dissolved, for this union was never created. It always has been, and it always will be. It always has been, and it always will be. That's amazing. That's the good news, right? Because there is only one. There's only one. We must always remember we are some part of this life of spirit, because there is only one. We are an individualization of this whole life. So we're not separate and apart from it. It's not God and us. It is spirit expressing as us. We are some individualization of this whole life of spirit. So whatever God is, and whatever qualities we assign to that energy, that's what we are. Whatever those qualities are, look, we have them all up there, right? Those are the 12, our favorite 12, the divine dozen. But, yeah, right? But there are more than that, of course. You know, whatever qualities we can think of that are good and just, those are the qualities of spirit, and those are the qualities that flow through us. Whatever those qualities are, that is what we are. We're not all there is to God, but all we are is God. Does that make sense? Because nothing else exists. Nothing else exists. Spirit created the manifest universe from itself, from its energy, without being absorbed by that. And so there is only that energy, either in form or out of form, and that's what we are. We get to demonstrate all of those qualities in as much or as little amount as we can embody, embrace, believe, and demonstrate. But the qualities themselves are limitless. There's limitless abundance in the world. We get to express as much of it as we can embody for ourselves. We get to demonstrate any and all of those qualities as we decide and as we place our attention and intention, right? We are the company. So we are getting to co-create our lives with the same power and presence that created the universe. Right? We've got a great silent partner. And let me tell you, that silent partner has deep pockets. Limitless resources at its disposal. Therefore, we do. We are the ones who decide the resources. Right? Which ones we use, what it goes toward. The silent partner never dictates to us. It simply says yes. So we direct the law, and then we have to live with the consequences. Now, we can take the greatest amount of love, right? Love is the divine ideal. We can take the greatest amount of love that we can embody, embrace, and demonstrate, and we can live that quality of God out loud. And we can become unconditional love in the world. And everybody that comes into our orbit, into our sphere of influence, will feel the love that we are emanating. And the universe, that is our silent partner, simply says yes. And we can choose to embrace the smallest amount of love that we want to demonstrate, the smallest, teeniest, tiniest amount of love that we want to demonstrate. And we demonstrate hate in the world, because that's what we call, right? Everything, all of those qualities exist on a continuum. So we call it something different, love and hate, but really it is just the smallest amount of love we can think of. And we can demonstrate that in the world. And it's called hate. And then everyone that comes into our influence, into our sphere, will feel that emanating off of us. We are the ones that are at choice, and we get to live those consequences. That's why Ernest Holmes called it, totally forgot, justice without judgment. Justice without judgment. It is in our best interest to choose wisely, because we want to live the consequences of our best life and our best nature. We want to place our attention on what we want to see grow. We want to place our intention on what we want to manifest. And where we place our attention, that grows the garden of our life. In that same article, in that same book, I mean, Your Invisible Power, Ernest Holmes goes on to say, we are in league with the universe. And this company with which we do business, having its center everywhere and its circumference nowhere, being omnipresent, is localized wherever thought and consciousness function. Wherever we place our attention, there the company is doing business. And wherever the company does business, there is divine activity. This is what we were created for. We were created to make manifest the glory of spirit and form. We are born for this. We are born to express, to co-create, to be in finite form that which the infinite is, to create our world just as spirit created the universe. This is what we were born for. St. Thomas Aquinas said this. He said, perfection happens when something achieves the end for which it was created. The seed was and achieves perfection when it becomes the plant. The acorn achieves perfection when it becomes the oak tree. We are born whole, perfect, and complete, lacking nothing to achieve our perfection, to manifest. When we manifest that completion of perfection, when we achieve what it is we were born for. And we are born to make manifest spirit in all of its glory as much as we can. Each one of us is created to be an individualized expression. So you have to be you. You have to do it perfectly, wholly, completely, uniquely. We are here to manifest that unique divinity, that unique expression of divinity as only each one of us can. Look around the room. I mean, like, we're so different. We look different. We sound different. We are different. And each one of us is necessary, a necessary component in this divine life, in this divine dance. We are all here to make manifest divinity our own way. Own way. Not in competition with each other, not in competition against each other, but in harmony with each other. Again, going back to the Your Invisible book, Your Invisible Power book, Ernest Holmes said this. He goes on and says, God and company has no competitors. There are no other goods so perfect as those we manufacture. There are no other patterns so attractive. There is no other machinery so noiseless, perfect, and efficient. God and company, therefore, never deals with competition, but always completeness. Wherever our thought is, this company establishes its branch. That's amazing. So you are a branch of the company. I am a branch of this company. Each one of us here is a branch of this company. All beings everywhere are branches of the same company. And what we do, we are immersed in divine inspiration, we are guided by divine intention, and we put our divine attention on it, on everything that we do. We live and move, and we have our lives immersed in this power and presence, in this energy, which is the divine. We are it, We are in it and we use it. We co-create the life of our dreams or our nightmares, depending on what you create. It's our choice. It's our choice. We draw divine inspiration from this one mind that we are living in. And what we do with it has consequences. That's the justice without judgment thing, right? And when we are in alignment with our highest and best good, those consequences are usually positive and pleasurable. When we are on our path of spiritual unfoldment and we are standing in the light, then those consequences are ones we want to live. And when we're standing in the shadow with our backs to the light, maybe those consequences we don't want to experience. Again, this is what Ernest Holmes called judgment, justice without judgment. There are cause and effect, cause and effect. We reap what we sow. If you're from New York, it's like what goes around comes around, you know what I mean? Forget about it. It's what it is, it's cause and effect. So when we reach for our highest and best good, when we stand in the light, when we grasp the divine ideal, and we make it our idea for our life, then that's what expresses through us. So what keeps us from doing that? What keeps us from reaching our highest and best good? What keeps us sometimes from even believing that we can have our highest and best good? You know, I think a lot of life is leaning into our vulnerability. Leaning into the vulnerability, to the uncertain places in our lives. We can't grow and stretch unless we're leaning into something we're not sure of, right? If you're an expert, I've said this before, if you're an expert in every part of your life, you're not growing, right? So to stretch and grow, we have to lean into those uncertain places, those places we want to explore, and we have to risk looking silly in order to do it. You know, anybody risk looking silly lately? You know? It's like, look, I just keep thinking, you know, that train has already left the station, guys. We've looked silly how many times in our lives already? What's one more time? It's more important to stretch and to grow and to risk that, right? To risk that, to grow. We can't grow into the greater sense of self without risking. We have to try new things. We have to have that beginner's brain with something, so that we can start doing something, so that we can be bigger than we currently are. And you know, when we waver back and forth, it's usually that thing where it's like, okay, so like, we don't even care what other people think. I just won't even ever care what other people think. And then there's that other part of us that's like, oh my God, I'm not gonna do that because what will people think, you know? And we waver back and forth. I don't care what anybody thinks. Oh my God, I don't wanna look stupid. Now, Brené Brown, I don't know if you know Brené. I'm reading a lot of Brené Brown lately. She's amazing. Anyway, she said, the problem is when we stop caring what people think and stop being hurt by cruelty, we lose our ability to connect. But when we're defined by what people think, we lose the courage to be vulnerable. Therefore, we need to be selective about the feedback we let into our lives. Have to be selective about the feedback. She goes on to say, for me, if you're not in the arena getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in your feedback. Okay? So this is about being selective and who gets to say, you know that thing you don't do it. You get to pick who those people are in your life. Taking care of business, the business of living, the business of living our lives means we are the ones that have to be in integrity, be clear, be honest, be vulnerable, be open, be transparent. Does any of that make anybody feel like nervous? You know, and the V word, the vulnerability word, right off the bat, it's like, nope, whole truckload of nope, not going there. But that's what we need to do and be. If we're transforming, if we're growing spiritually, that's exactly what we need to be. This is what Brené Brown calls living wholehearted. Living wholehearted lives. And you know, this is what we practice. I don't know if you know this, but this is what we practice in this spiritual community. We hold certain agreements here, don't we? You've heard it. You heard it on the welcome, right? This is safe, and you are safe, and you are loved. This place is an open place. This is a loving place. This is a diverse place. And we hold certain agreements here, and one of the agreements we hold is unconditional love, right? Practicing unconditional love. We love each other here. That's it. We just love each other here. Doesn't mean we don't disagree with each other. Doesn't mean, I mean, look, we can disagree on our politics. We can disagree on our career choices. We can disagree on our style of dress. We can disagree on all kinds of things. But we love each other unconditionally. We just love each other unconditionally. We've shown up, we've decided to be spiritual community, and we extend that you are safe, you are loved, period. Doesn't matter how you show up or what you look like or what you're wearing or what you do for a living or anything. It's just we come together and we love each other unconditionally. That makes it a safe space. This is a place where we can grow and we can stretch and we can try on things. Who wants to be a pulpit speaker? You know, come up here and give it a shot. We say yes. If it is in alignment with spiritual principles, we say yes. Somebody comes and says, oh, I have a great new idea for a workshop. Yes, come on, try it on. Let's do it. Let's play together. It's a safe place. And because it's a safe place, when you take the platform or you do your workshop or you teach your class, everybody's pulling for you to succeed. Isn't that lovely? We're pulling for you to succeed. We're not standing here going, I see when she screws up. Well, you know, we'll write it down on Yelp or something. You know, we'll put it on social media. Guess who tried to do something, you know? No, everybody is pulling for your success. That's what makes this a safe and loving place. And we all need places like this. That's what's so interesting. It's like we all need communities where we can come together and try on a greater sense of self. Because how else do you grow otherwise? You grow, you know, you try it out there and you get clobbered sometimes, don't you? On social media or like, oh my God, or those shoes don't match that outfit. What are you doing, you know? All kinds of criticism comes back. So you need safe places like this. Another agreement we have here is to make the highest assumption we can about each other, right? Make the highest assumption we can about each other. You know, as humans, we are meaning-making machines. Have you noticed? We will extrapolate meaning from the most minimal amount of facts, and we will torture ourselves with those things, won't we? We will connect dots where there are no dots, and we will make meaning out of just anything. What do you think she meant by that? Is she talking about me? You think she's referring to me? Right? I mean, just as easy as that. We will fill in the blanks, we'll connect the dots, we will make meaning where none exists. I cannot tell you, I mean, sometimes I come in the on Sunday mornings and it's like I blow past everybody because I'm like a woman on a mission, man. I'm going someplace and people can go, oh, that minister, my God, she's snooty. She doesn't talk to anybody. I can't believe her. Now, the truth of the matter is I was racing to the bathroom. Didn't mean anything about anybody, but you see how you can make meaning out of something that's totally, totally on, you know, innocent, and that's what we do. And in order to heal that obsession we have of making meaning where none exists, we have to do what Brené Brown says is to sit with each other, to talk with each other, to communicate with each other and say, you know, the story I'm making up in my head about this is whatever, 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 right? The story I'm making up in my head about this is you don't really like me because you never say hello to me when you come in the morning, right? No, I'm running to the bathroom. And if you know that, how much better that is, right? How much better is that? So that's where we start. The story I'm making up in my head about this is. And then we share that. If we make the highest assumption, if we just start off making the highest assumption about each other, then we don't get our feelings hurt to begin with. Making the highest assumption, we give each other the benefit of the doubt in all cases. We are less likely to assign devious or malicious intention to anyone's behavior. And when we're vulnerable like that, we lean into the situations and we reveal the truth. We get to know the truth. We get to know where we stand, where we are, and where we're going. And this center is a welcoming place for that. This is where we get together in you are safe and you are loved. You know, because because this is a place of belonging. And we all need that as humans. We crave that, this place of belonging. Brené Brown also said, you know what the opposite of belonging is? And I thought about that. You know, you think not fitting in or aloneness or anything. She said, no, the opposite of belonging is fitting in. The opposite of belonging is fitting in. Because when we fit in, we have to change ourselves. We have to be inauthentic. We have to hide our true selves. We have to put on a mask in order to fit into the group, in order to be pleasing or acceptable. So we're not about fitting in here. It goes against everything that we know is true about life. This is a place of belonging. And when we suit up and show up and we are our authentic selves, we grow in this group and we grow with this group and we're in alignment with this group. We become a blessing to ourselves, right? Because we're living our authentic life. And we become a blessing to everyone else. We become a blessing not only to this group, but to everybody outside this group, everybody in the planet. When we are our authentic selves, who we were here to be, the acorn growing into the oak tree, when we are demonstrating our true selves, we are indeed a blessing to ourselves and to the world. We become more of who we are, more of what Spirit wants us to be. So I'm finishing up with Ernest Holmes again, Your Invisible Power. With God in company, business is always good. To know this is to know the truth about one's business. To understand what is exactly so about one's profession, and to know what activity really means. Who would dissolve such a divine partnership as this? If we have a business which has no competitors, over which there is no monopoly, if we have a business which is always good, if we have the intelligence to run this business, and if this business is really the business of living, then indeed we are successful. And indeed, we are successful. We are taking care of business. We are taking care of the business of our lives, right here in this place and everywhere we go outside of these walls. Thank you so much.